to ask in prayer. Contemplative prayer. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching, episode 252. And today we're looking again at a chapter from the book How to Pray by Pete Gregg. So I'm in my third year of participating in the Renovare Book Club, and if you'd like to join that, then the link is in the show notes. And the book I'm reading with the rest of the book club at the moment is How to Pray by Pete Gregg. And I've been focusing on that book for the last several weeks, and indeed we're going to go on for at least two or three more as we finish off the book. Now, you don't need to read the book to benefit from these recordings, but it might be helpful if you do, and I think you'd be blessed by getting a hold of a copy. I've been reading the Kindle version, which is very easy to read and not very expensive. And I will do a full review of the book a little bit later, maybe in 3 or 4 weeks, when it comes to that time on my other podcast called What We Are Reading. Now, last week, we explored unanswered prayer, how to handle disappointment in prayer. And I'm glad that it's been helpful. I was speaking to someone this week who'd found that particularly helpful. And it is a challenging topic, how to handle disappointment regarding our prayers. But that was last week. If you want to check that out, it's still there up online on the podcast feed and on my website. But this week we're going to be talking about contemplative prayer. A theme scripture, you might say, would be Matthew 6, verse 10, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said to pray that things happen on earth as in heaven. What is it like to be with God in the heavenlies? What would it be like to have a relationship with him in that realm? Well, I think contemplative prayer might give us more of a clue to that than most other kinds of prayer. So what is this mode of prayer? Let me give you this quote from the book. If petition is prayer at its simplest, and intercession is prayer at its most powerful, contemplation is prayer at its deepest and most personally transformational. So we make requests in prayer. We talk to God about our needs, and all that is good. But the question could be, does it change us? Does it assist in making us more Christ-like? Now, certainly all these other forms of prayer are, I'm sure, part of the package. But isn't there more than simply talking to God, more than simply giving him our requests? And that's important. We've talked about it in the previous weeks. But is there more? Pete, in his book, quotes Richard Foster, who described contemplative prayer as a loving attentiveness to God, in which talk recedes into the background and feeling comes to the foreground. Now, at this point, some of us are very happy to hear this, and others may be threatening to turn off the podcast because the idea of looking for a feeling is something rather alien to us, or something we might fear, or something we feel is not tremendously spiritually helpful. Well, I don't know. But maybe you might like to listen to the rest of the recording before making up your mind. Talk recedes into the background and feeling comes into the foreground. The small thing I would say just at this point in this recording is, isn't that part of every relationship? Talk is part of a relationship, but there are times when the talking recedes and you have a feeling together. In essence, contemplative prayer is about enjoying the presence of Christ rather than doing anything with it. He says this, contemplation is stargazing rather than astronomy. It's listening to jazz rather than hearing a talk. Maybe you don't like jazz, that's okay. But his point is more, it's about listening. It's about participating in a listening mode rather than listening to a talk. It's more experiential. Stargazing is different from astronomy. Nothing wrong with astronomy, but it's different. It's just gazing in wonder at the stars. You might ask, well, do the scriptures support this concept? And I'd say they do. I mean, here are just a few examples. Psalm 19, verse 14, may the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Not just the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart. Psalm 62, verse 1, For God alone my soul waits in silence. Waiting in silence, not talking. Waiting in silence. We did a whole series, a teaching series, last year, 2019 or 2018, I forget, but it's on my YouTube channel. It's on the Thames Valley website as well, or YouTube channel. We did a whole series on this idea of waiting, our souls, our spirit, who we are, waiting on God, waiting on him, waiting with him. And Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Can you be still with God? And finally, in this introduction, consider the example of Jesus. Now, he prayed all night several times. We know that as you look through the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Luke, you see him praying for extended periods and all night. He did that a number of times and probably a lot more than are recorded. But do we honestly think he spent the entire night talking? Like he went up on a mountain at, say, what should we say, 6 p.m., 7 p.m., and he's up there till, should we say, 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and minute by minute, hour by hour, he's just talking and talking and talking. I can't see it like that. It seems reasonable to assume that he meditated on the word. He waited for his Father in silence. And he enjoyed that stillness in the presence of the Father. I don't know about you, but if I spend all my time with my wife talking, things don't go well. Non-stop talking is not a good characteristic to have. It's not a good mode to be in when you want to be friends with somebody. So with these thoughts in mind, let's turn to some suggestions from the book to help us understand, hopefully, and practice contemplative prayer. Firstly, meditation. So here we go through in the book, he goes through different stages of contemplative prayer, and he begins with meditation, which he calls the me and God stage. Me and God. He says, contemplation begins with meditation, fixing your thoughts on a picture, an object, or most frequently on a phrase from the Bible. So this stage is where we're bringing our presence consciously into the presence of God, or rather perhaps acknowledging his presence because he is already with us. It's a surrender to the reality of God and a connection with him. You might find a Bible phrase helpful to focus on, or looking at a tree through the window in your garden, or a candle. Just contemplating it to be something that helps you to focus your attention. The point is not the candle or the tree or even the Bible phrase as such, it's more helping us to focus. At the time of recording this, what I'm doing at the moment in the mornings is I come down to my office, I get into there's a comfortable chair here, I pull the curtain, I pull up the blind, and it's still dark this time of year. But as I sit there, there's enough light for me to just see a hedge on the corner of our front garden. And there are some beautiful red berries in that. And you can see the redness just about in the dark. And so I sit there looking through the window at those red berries. And they are what begin to trigger my ability to recognize that God is with me and to welcome him and to enter his presence in a more conscious way. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. Perhaps you could develop your own way of getting into that state. So our first stage is meditation. The second stage is contemplation, or what Pete says or calls the God and me stage. So we've gone from the me and God stage to the God and me stage. So at this point, we're no longer the center of attention. Instead, our Heavenly Father is the center of attention. He says, prayer is no longer something I'm doing, but something I'm being in the presence of God. What happens here? We experience acceptance. We experience God's pleasure in being with us. We feel, we sense, we experience a palpable experience of security. I'm meant to be here. God welcomes me. I'm with him. Thirdly, after meditation, contemplation, we come to communion, what Pete calls the only God stage. Have you had this experience where you've been wrapped up in something? You've been wrapped up in a book you've been reading. You've been wrapped up in a film you've been watching. This happens, especially in the cinema when the lights are down. But you're so wrapped up in the experience of being watching this film, that you forget where you are. Time loses its significance. You can't notice it passing. You don't notice it passing. Time goes. You don't recognize where you are. You've not noticed. You don't notice the temperature of the room. You're not conscious of the seat you're sitting in. You're not worrying about what you're going to go and do next, the rest of the day, tomorrow, difficult things in life, or whatever happened even before you got to the cinema. It's all a blur or a blank, or it's just not part of your consciousness, because you are communing with the song, with the book, with the film. All that absorbs you is what you are currently engaged in. Here's a quote from the book. Perfect prayer is not to know that you are praying. I like that. It's become such a natural thing, such a part of you, you're not even aware of doing it. It's not a thing you're doing. It's something you are and something you're experiencing. It's perhaps more properly a state of being. Now, this isn't where we live all day, every day, but experiences like this are a window into what the next life might be something like. That constant absorption and enjoyment of communion with God. Now, time for a reflection before I go on to a couple more points. Are you convinced yet that this matters? For some of us, it might seem as natural as a duck taking to water, but for others, I suspect it may feel like I'm talking a foreign language. I think it's time for a longer quote from the book. Pete says this: "Let me say this as clearly as I possibly can. Your soul is crying out for a deeper encounter with Christ. And if your faith is to thrive for years to come, if it is to survive the coming seasons of darkness and pain, if you are to know and to be known by Jesus in a richer, more fulfilling way, if you are to continue to engage with him when words no longer have meaning, if you are to become the loving person he wants you to be and to see the world the way he sees it, you must make space in your busy life for regular meditation, contemplation, and communion with God." Many of us bemoan the fact that we don't feel that we or the people around us in our churches are growing as much as they could. Is at least part of the answer that we're not spending enough time consciously in the presence of God? And I wonder if contemplative prayer might be one of the keys to this lock. It's important we have good fellowship. It's important we have good teaching and preaching and services and corporate worship. And I believe in all of those things. But those things in themselves are not enough. Time with our Heavenly Father is needed. Contemplation is a way of being. Pete says this: "When we meditate regularly on God's goodness and saturate our consciousness in his love, we become like him." There's a scripture that speaks to that kind of vision. 2 Corinthians 3:18. "We all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory." Do you see there what Paul is saying? We can be transformed, and we are being transformed, but part of the way in which that happens is as we contemplate his glory. It changes our very being. And, you know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we help each other. We help each other by helping each other to cooperate with the work of the Spirit in each other's lives. We might call that spiritual mentoring or discipling, or there's various ways we can look at that. And we do help each other. And that's what Christian fellowship provides, amongst other things. However, we will never become more like Christ simply by human action. We desperately need time in the presence of God for that. Finally, contemplation as a way of seeing. Spending time with God changes the way we see ourselves and our Heavenly Father, but also the way that we see the rest of the world. To quote from the book, the more we see Christ in prayer, the more we see Him everywhere we go and in everyone we meet. The whole of life becomes an invitation to worship. If you and I want to see the world changed by the love of Christ, perhaps we might put more effort not into direct evangelism or even social action, but first contemplative prayer. If God can change the way we see the world, it may be that we are changed enough for the world to see God through us. Well, Pete ends the book with this prayer by Isaac of Stella, so let me read it for us. He himself is my contemplation. He is my delight. Him, for his own sake, I seek above me. From him himself I feed within me. He is the field in which I labor. He is my cause. He is my effect. He is my beginning. He is my end. He is for me eternity. Well, we'll finish there for today. What stands out to you about this concept, this practice of contemplative prayer? And how might your prayer life grow if you could learn how to practice contemplative prayer? What would it do for you? What might it bring to you? In what way might it enrich your connection with God, your relationship with God? I'd love to know what you think. So please drop me a line. Maybe you might like to focus on contemplative prayer for the next 7 days and then send me a report back as to what it's done for you or not. There are some resources mentioned in the book, which I'll put in the show notes. But between now and the next time, I do hope that you enjoy your relationship with God. You enjoy being in the presence of God, that you enjoy growing and learning and how to be in that state, such that it affects not only that time specifically spent in that way with God, but feeds through into all of life. What a joy. What a joy to have that vision ahead of us, before us, and something that we believe can grow. Contemplative prayer. Well, until the next time, take care and God bless.